Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you for joining us on this In His Steps journey as we discover the power of passionate prayer, intentional presence, radical generosity, and surrendered service.
This is day 21, In His Steps, The Legacy Lives On. Our theme for this day is The Temptation in Tithing. A.W. Tozer wrote, "We ought not to be looking for a place to hide, but a place to give ourselves as an offering to God." Our text is Matthew 23:23-24. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat, but you're swallowing a camel." Now, the greatest temptation in tithing is to only give money to the Lord. Some people give their money and their offering to the church and then never give God anything else. I believe that a 10% tithe is the starting point, not the stopping point, when it comes to giving. In today's scripture, the religious leaders are challenged by Jesus in their giving. Jesus' warning begins with the word, "Woe." In the Bible, woe is a term that refers to grief and anguish or trouble. It is often used as an exclamation of judgment on others. The legalistic and hypocritical way that the Pharisees tithed disgusted Jesus. These religious leaders thought that if they tithed in great detail, that was all they needed to give to the Lord. Jesus told them that they had neglected the weightier matters of the law. Bruce Barton's comments provide great insight into Jesus' words. "There's no evidence in God's law demanding a tithe or cooking herbs or medicinal spices, although the Israelites would tithe agricultural products such as fruit," Leviticus 27:13, "and in Deuteronomy 14:22. But since these spices were edible, the scribes and Pharisees carried the law to its extreme and tithed even mint and dill and cumin. Jesus did not condemn this practice, but he condemned their complete neglect of the weightier matters of the law, for example, justice and mercy and faith. The hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees lay in their careful obedience to the small details of the law, while they ignored larger issues that were far more important, such as dealing correctly with other people and building a relationship with God. It is possible to carefully obey certain details of God's laws, but still be disobedient in our general behavior. For example, we could be very precise and faithful about giving 10% of our money to the church, but refuse to give 1 minute of our time to help others. Tithing is important, but giving a tithe does not exempt us from fulfilling God's other directives. The last phrase sums up all of the woes. They ought to have practiced the weightier matters without neglecting others, such as tithing. Jesus was not negating faithfulness to God's law. Rather, he was condemning a concern for minor details that replaced the true piety and discipleship. Jesus followed up his warning with these words, "You blind guides, you're straining at a gnat and you're swallowing a camel." Bart's explanation is again helpful. How blind these religious leaders were, guides who were leading the people astray. Jesus used to play on words here. The Aramaic words for gnat and camel are very similar. The Pharisees strained their wine so that they wouldn't be accidentally swallow a gnat, an unclean insect according to the law. Meticulous about the details of ceremonial cleanliness, they nevertheless had lost their perspective on the matters of justice, mercy, and faithfulness, in verse 23, symbolized by the camel. The camel was not only the largest creature in the Near East, but was also unclean. As the Pharisees took great care of the smallest details in order to remain pure, they had become unclean in the most important areas. Ceremonially clean on the outside, but they had corrupt hearts. Barton continues his comments with the following application. What did Jesus have in mind when he used the terms gnats and camels? His statement identifies three categories here. Gnats were like tithing mint, dill, and cumin. Camels were justice, mercy, and faith. Two millennia later, the camels remained the same, but the gnats have undergone a remarkable transformation. Jesus did not condemn meticulous obedience. He affirmed the validity of the tithe, saying that the leaders should have practiced these without neglecting the others. An application of Jesus' statement would have to address our wider lack of obedience. We disregard the biblical guidelines from light to weighty. In our case, Jesus might well say, "You strain out nothing but swallow everything whole." We can respond positively by giving more thought and taking more specific action in living out our faith. How and what do we tithe? In what ways are we concerned with justice, mercy, and faith? Do we make them part of the conversation? The Christian movement becomes anemic when believers overlook the details of faithful living and forget the priorities that God holds dear. Now, here's some questions to help drive this point home. Number one, in what ways is the tithe just the beginning of your test of faith? Number two, how can you resist the temptation of making the tithe the only area of giving to the Lord? Number three, why is it important that Jesus approve the Pharisees' tithe, which also reprimanded their neglect of the weightier matters? Number four, in what specific ways can you be a giver in the areas of justice, mercy, and faithfulness? Let us pray. Oh God, what a lesson. May we certainly observe the tithe, but may we not neglect the other important things. And oh God, for your full will to be done in our lives. That's what we earnestly desire. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, and convict us and send us into a lifestyle that is truly responding to what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.